Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. Politics and the Navajo Nation, brought to you by Cal Nez Design, and hosted by Cal Nez himself.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Politics on the Navajo Nation, Navajo Talk Radio Show. This evening, it's, we got half an hour show, and inviting everybody to join us. This radio show is tentatively scheduled to be on every Wednesday evening, and we look for sponsors, we look for participation, we look for people to call in, tribal governments, tribal entities, that we interview them. We've got people from all over the place. I see that the archive listenership is really has gone up, and also the online or live listeners are also is going up, and it's really exciting to hear people calling in and also listening to the radio show. And for those who have been either on the other side of the moon, but tonight's topic is going to be about the Navajo Nation presidential election. It's not over yet, everybody. I want your opinion. This evening, I have invited the, I'm not sure if he's still pro-temp, because on the 31st of December, the Navajo Nation Council, and I'd like to ask him, see who is in charge. I think that everybody's waiting until January 13th to find out what's going to happen and how things are going to go, and we're hearing varying opinions about the Navajo Nation president. President Ben Shelley, is he going to step down due to his term on after the at noon on January 13th? I'm curious to find out, because there are two opinions, and those opinions are the Navajo Nation legislative branch are saying that they are that President Shelley's term ends on that day. And then there are other opinions that state from the Navajo Nation Department of Justice. They're saying there is no protocol, there is none whatsoever in the Navajo Nation election code, that all of these things that have been happening on the Navajo Nation are first time on everything, and disqualification, reinstatements, undoing, council getting involved, all of that. So what do you think? Should he step down or should he not step down? If he steps down, then the Navajo Nation Council basically takes over, and they provide under the precedent that's been set back when Milton Bluehouse was sworn in after Albert Hale, I believe, was had resigned. So I might stand correct. I might be incorrect on that. But anyway, they're using a precedent that's been used before, where a president was the president's office was vacated, and the Navajo Nation Council, they provided Leonard Haskey as, Milton Bluehouse was the one that was sworn in. So they're using that, and they're going to move forward with that as the reasons or as the foundation for the council. Now, the president's office and the Navajo Nation Department of Justice is saying no, he's not going to step down. So in either case, there's quite an interesting scenario, because right now, what are the setups, or basically how are things going to go? Because you've got two branches that are going to be kind of combined into one thing. And then the other is the Navajo Nation government is a three-branch government. Now, by combining the two after the 13th, if it goes the way that the council is saying, then what does that mean? Does that mean that the Navajo Nation government is now in the hands of the Navajo Nation legislative branch? And so it's quite interesting how that's going to turn out. Now, the other thing is the topic tonight. I am awaiting to find out. I'm waiting right now to get a call from Lorenzo Bates, who was the pro temp. I don't know if he still is, or I'm not sure how that's going to go. But anyway, he's a pro temp speaker of the Navajo Nation Council, Mr. Lorenzo Bates. And I would like to interview him from the standpoint that what does this legislation that they drafted on December, the last Friday of, well, actually, not a Friday, but I think, it's the last day of December. And it was submitted to President Shelley's office. And as of Monday, after that legislation, it had not reached the president's office. And so, but people are now confusing that legislation with the language fluency. So there's three things that the Navajo Nation Council did. One is a legislation for the Navajo Nation election office. That's what we're talking about tonight. The other one is the Navajo Nation qualification on language fluency and Navajo fluency. And then the third thing is to reinstate the Navajo Nation Election Board of Supervisors. And so there's two questions that I would like to ask Mr. Lorenzo Bates. One is, I would like for him to tell me what happened to the Navajo Nation Council delegates race in two areas. One was the Fort Defiance, and then the other one is in Round Rock, Rough Rock, Rock Point, that area. And that area, they never had a race. There was supposed to be a runoff or a special election to bring those two in. And the reason why that those offices were vacated or that was placed on hold was because that Tom White, and Norman Begay were both disqualified, and they were members of the Board of Election Supervisors. And so because of that, it affected the dismissal of the Navajo Nation Election Board of Supervisors. It affected their race as well. So there's three things. So one out of the three legislation that I'm curious about, and I hope that I'm going to, I hope that Mr. Lorenzo Bates calls in here any minute here. I'm going to send him another text right now, and let's see if he calls in. And so, but anyway, so I'm very curious to see about those, all of that going on. But obviously, the nomination Supreme Court had said that they would like to have the election before or on January 31st, which is just a few weeks away now, literally. So, one question, does the president stay on? I'm going to write that down. And then the other one is... the president, and then the other question is, what happened to the Fort Defiance and the Rock Point race? So I'd like to hear from you to see what your thoughts are. And so, because this discussion is going to continue, and I'm sure it's going to continue way past whatever happens. If Ben Shelley, or President Ben Shelley, vetoes the legislation, then I suppose that Russell Begay and Dr. Joe Shirley Jr.'s race is going to move forward. But then again, how much of all of that is going to affect? Because as I'm understanding, there are still some issues with the Navajo Nation oil and gas situation. I don't know all of the details, but somewhere along this road to getting the Navajo Nation presidential election, that's going to come up. So after all of this and all the election and we move forward with this thing, then once that comes up, does that mean that we're just going to undo that whole thing and just basically should Russell Begay win, or they're in the middle of the race and something does come up? I'm not saying it's going to. I'm just speculating. These are all my own opinions, but based on some factual information that had been given to me. So the other scenario is that if he passes it. Now, the Navajo people, all you listeners out there, are you ready to go out and vote again? You spent the time, you drove to the chapter, you cast a vote. A lot of people are saying, yes, I'm not going to vote this time because I already cast my vote. My vote already counts. Now, I've also heard that someone is also trying to, or there's a group that would like to challenge the Navajo Nation Council, or the whole Navajo Nation election, because they feel that their rights have been violated. And if you listen to Marty Shabala's interview of Leonard Sosi on YouTube, it's quite an interesting interview, because if you look at it, if you listen to this thing, the question in my mind as I was watching this thing was that the legislation that we're talking about now, the fluency and also the new election, they were all drafted in the name of one candidate. Is that so? Now, the election, the reality still comes down to one thing. How many of you people, well, I guess I suppose now 100%, not because of Chris's cheating disqualification, but just merely with the fact that the Navajo Nation election has just been all botched up. And because of that, you feel like that you have, you're just disenfranchised. But the speculation is that the Navajo Nation Election Office because of their disqualification and the whole election being messed up as it is, they're now disenfranchised. They don't want to vote again. But behind this is the 9,000 voters or 10,000 voters thereabouts for Mr. Chris Cheney. But if you take all of the voters that cast their vote, that's more than 9,000. Now, do we listen to the disenfranchised voters that are to the 9,000 or the 10,000 votes? Or do we look at the whole picture and to make sure that everything has been done right? Now, if this new election does happen, if the legislation is signed by the president, then basically, where is that going to put everybody? I'm talking about where, meaning all the 17. Does that mean that they're going to accept all of our former application or the affidavit that was submitted to the nomination election office, or do we have to submit new papers? And if those new papers, are they going to have a much better or much more in-depth and detail vetting of all and everybody's, quote, pass to make sure that they are valid? And if they give the fluency a questionnaire, so to speak, and then I wonder who's going to draft that up and whether or not that's going to be validated by the Navajo Nation government, the Navajo people. How far are we going to go with this thing? So there's a lot of little things that still have to be determined. So now the legislation, that particular legislation, which is the setting the new dates, which is June for the runoff election and the generals, would be in August and September around the Navajo Nation Fair time will be the swearing in or the inauguration for the Navajo Nation president. So, and in terms of who is going to come on board, if Chris Cheney was disqualified, does that mean he is able to run again? Or does he again get disqualified? And those 17 that the doors are open to, does that mean that they are also going to have the opportunity to file a grievance as it is according to the law? Because if there's an election, you have 10 days after. So now we're going to go through all of this filing again against each other, who did what, where, when, who, why. So if you're listening and you want to call in, I invite you to do that. And I am very, very curious to find out what your thoughts are. The Navajo Nation, the Navajo people. So I am now sending the last text to Mr. Lorenzo Bates. And so we only have about 10 minutes now. So I appreciate your patience, and I appreciate you calling in. But those are very interesting. I have tried to contact the other candidates to see what their thoughts are on this new election and how much. And it's not only just about the voters, but it's also about the candidates. The candidates, they went through the whole Navajo Nation primary, took time off, put their lives literally on hold, to go campaigning. And whether they ended up with the results that they had hoped for or not, nonetheless, there has been some time, expenditure, sacrifices that have been made. And these sacrifices obviously do count because everybody's time is valuable. Now, as they went through this whole election, we here we are, January, and it's several months past, and we don't have a president. And so how much of these candidates and how much are they willing? I'm curious to find out who's going to run again, because it does cost money. And whether this special election, whether there's going to be money that's going to be spent from now till the end of the, until all the way up to June. So if we put the clock on it right now, that's 7 months. It's like everybody's going to have to campaign again. And like I said, it is very, very costly. So, and not only does it cost the candidates, but it also costs the campaign staff. And now the printing of the ballots, reprinting of the ballots, and such and such. So that is the Navajo Nation 2014 presidential election. The Navajo Nation Council, if you saw on Facebook, Nomination Council is going to do their January 13th swearing in, and they will be working and available and given the green light right at noon on the 13th. So that's where they commit their service to the Navajo Nation government. So it's quite interesting. But I'm glad that things are at least moving, at least two of the three branches. And so now the question is, should Ben Shelley sign this? Call in. Telephone number here is 347-989-0048. 347-989-0048. And I encourage you to give me a buzz now to give me your thoughts about why that Ben Shelley should pass the legislation or not pass the legislation. So what are your thoughts, ladies and gentlemen? But overall, I think it's going to be quite unique. So we got a caller that's hanging on the phone. I'd like to bring him on, see what his thoughts are. And the telephone number, the last four digits is 1547. 1547, you are on air. We only got about 6 minutes. So what's on your, can you hear me okay?
Yate.
And who is calling, where from?
This is Matt Brady from Sacramento, California.
Oh yeah, Matt. So how'd you do on the Rosetta Stone?
Well, I did manage to win a brand new Kindle Fire HD. So, yeah.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's cool. Nice.
And a 6 month subscription. So.
Well, that's good.
So
well, to the legislature,
so
Ben Shelley, sign it or not?
Okay, my thinking is this. There's two possible things, or two possible scenarios. Ben Shelley signs it, and we have a new election, and he gains favor because chances are most likely the council wants that. So since there's no protocol, I'm sure no one would contest him staying in office an extra 8 or 9 months, he gets to go at it again. Now, if he's smart, he realizes he came in second place during the primaries. It seems like the only four people that would that would seem to stand a chance would be Donald Benelli, Def Cheney, Russell B. Gay, and of course, Doctor, and I say use that term very lightly, Joe Shirley Jr. So basically, and then let's say he doesn't sign it. Well, then the assumption is, well, then we're required to have an election by the 31st of this month between Russell B. Gay and Joe Shirley. Either way, it all goes past his term. So do I think he will sign it? I think he will. I don't think he necessarily should. But if he does, my thinking is that because he feels, number one, he gets to stay in office a little bit longer. Number two, he gets to go at it again. And bear in mind, I mean, no disrespect intended to his administration, but he did come up in seventh place out of 17. And we're talking about the incumbent president. In the United States, the incumbent president almost usually all the time gets his party's nomination. I don't think it's ever happened that it's never happened. So he comes in seventh place. The chances of him making it a top two are very, very slim. So basically, and what you alluded to earlier, that all of this is basically to help one candidate, Def Cheney. That's pretty much what is. Soce seems like an extremist. He's reintroduced the same legislation twice in 1 year. I don't know if there's a limit. My feeling is Leonard Soce will just keep bringing it up. He'll keep bringing up that legislation. And if Ben Shelley does step down, I'm not sure who the Speaker of the House is. The Navajo Nation Speaker of the House. That means he could sign Leonard Soce's legislation into effect. So I don't know how close knit Leonard Soce and the Navajo Speaker of the Council, how close they are. But Leonard Soce is basically doing everything he can on behalf of Death Cheney. It's all, that's pretty much what it is. It's all for Death Cheney. So basically, I think that Ben Shelley, in my mind, I'm saying no. I don't think he should sign it. He probably will, but I don't think he should, mainly because we have two candidates right now. We have Russell B. Gay and Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. ready to go at it. There's been a long, we need to get this out of the way, done. And in 4 years we'll come up and we'll have another election. But right now we ultimately need to focus. We need to get a president in there who can start fixing our problems. And we need a straight election, Joe Shirley versus Russell B. Gay, and that's ultimately what should happen right about now. But it's hard to say because, again, we don't know if Ben Shelley will stay past his term. So that's pretty much what how I think it. It's all Leonard Soce but nothing to get Def Cheney back on the ballot.
Did you listen to that radio or that interview that Marty did with Leonard Soce?
I did. I didn't watch the whole, I did skim through it. And ultimately what I got out of it was pretty much, his justification is, well, 9,000 people already voted. Therefore, we should make sure their votes are counted. It's not the tribal government that's responsible for this. Christopher Cheney knew when he signed that. I don't know if he knew it could happen, if he even thought about it happening, but either way, he let his own supporters down when he put himself in a situation like he did, knowingly too. And I believe some time ago you actually put his application ballot on your Facebook page. I've been looking for it, where he actually put the check mark next to Fluent. So basically, my thing is Leonard Soce really wants, it's almost as if he's desperate for Def Cheney to get elected.
Interesting. Well, That's what a lot of, well, I mean, I'm not going to say anything in terms of what this is all about. But what I can say is, yes, there's a lot of people who are speculating, although there's been denials coming from the sponsors of the bill or the legislation, that they're doing it for one candidate or the 9,000 plus who voted for the second person who came in. Go ahead.
Well, of the 17 candidates, yourself included, I'm sure you got to know quite a few of them, be it Moroni, Vannelli, you know, who, like you, is settled off, you know, to Utah. You know, in Utah, you know, Donald Vannelli, all these candidates, realistically, I mean, but, you know, you probably met and talked with a few of them, or you probably debated against them. Of these 17, do any of them, other than Descini, are any of them not fluent, really, in the language? Are any of them, that's, all 17.
Well, here's the thing. See, with the next election that's coming up, if it happens, you know, there's several questions that are going to come up that I was hoping that the Lorenzo Bates would call in, find out what the legislation is all about. But I'm still going to call Leonard Sosie tomorrow, and I'm going to bring him on and interview him. But, you know, let's say it is signed, but there's questions as to how many of these people are going to accept what qualifications, what protocol are they going to use? Are they just going to accept the previous one? Does that mean if Chris Descini was disqualified in the past for this election, he's just going to move up and they're just going to leave it at that? There's going to be a lot of questions still yet to come, so I'm not sure. Now, in terms of fluency that you're talking about, well, the way my own personal interpretation is that my upbringing, what determines fluency, is really what defines kind of a tongue-in-cheek saying that used to be, people used to call each other on the Navajo Nation. But really, if you fit under these clauses, the language that you speak is really what defines you in terms of what is fluent. And that funny tongue-in-cheek description about what everybody called each other was the John or Chiji, you know, and the ones that went to boarding school. Those language, I mean, that when you sit down with somebody and you can just, you know what that is, and it's really, you can't really define it. And you can also tell who is, you know, who, when they speak Navajo, although they speak Navajo, there's a certain inflections, enunciations in the language that you can automatically tell. And when you take that type of description and put it in the format of the Navajo Nation president, the 17 that ran, I know in my mind, me, Cal Nez, I know who's fluent. And I know who's not fluent. And, you know, but then again, somebody's going to come along and say to me, well, when you talk in Navajo, you mix your English with Navajo. Therefore, you're not fluent either. But for me, I feel like I know who's fluent and who's not fluent. And out of the 17, I can honestly say, I'm not going to name names, there's 1, 2, 3, four. I absolutely know that those four are not fluent in Navajo. So I don't know if they're going to run or be allowed to run or not. So do you understand what I mean when I say the Johns, the boarding schoolers, the that's not a criticism. That's what we all joke each other. They will have to obey John, you know?
Well, bear in mind, we're not asking in our election, we're not asking for everyone to be full-blooded. You know, we're not, I mean...
No, we're not asking for full blood yet.
And as far as the whole, you know, the idea of what defines, in our case, the net is odd, you know, the fluency level. I mean, we have so many regions with their own dialects, their own accents. Words you might use different. You might hear a word that means something in Window Rock, but if you go over to Kayenta, yeah, it's a completely different word. However, this is the only office, the only two offices that require, that have this requirement. And so, basically, I wouldn't be objected to it if, you know, I mean, if candidates, much like yourself, who you would probably have no problem with it, submitting proof prior to when you pay your $1,500 fee and you turn in your application. We brought up during the Cheney court case, they talked about how we have tests that are sponsored by the states of Arizona and New Mexico. There are plenty of people that are getting degrees in Navajo language, some Navajo, some not, who are getting state certified. But a simple oral test that can be given to candidates free of charge. I mean, if the candidates, like much like yourself, are willing to pay the $1,500, I don't see why they can't offer a simple exam. I'm sure, you know, 13, you say you think four, that 13 of you probably have no problem sitting for a few hours. And, I mean, the Miss Navajo Nation, they have to go through that. They don't get translators. So it's not a personal attack on Des Cheney's policies, but the thing is, how many more times can this be brought up? Is Leonard Sosie, is it going to reach a point to where he's going to bring up this legislation every single week? Is he going to, maybe if he does it enough times, eventually, you know, whoever we have as president might just sign off on it just to let it go. The fact of the matter is, it is hard to determine fluency in a language that most people who can speak it can't read or write it, in a language that has various dialects and various different ways of speaking. But it seems quite simple. An oral exam, a 4 or 5 hour oral exam, the questions that were asked to Des Cheney, where are you from? Or better yet, how does a law get passed through the court system of Navajo Nation? He couldn't even say what he said in English in Navajo when he said, "I don't want it. This is unfair, but you know, I'm not answering your questions."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't answer the questions because he couldn't, not because he really felt like it was an unfair test. If it was you, like Calnet, with all due respect, if you were called up fluency was to be tested, if you're called out on it, you know, you could do it, no problem, if they asked you, Calnet, where are you from? Calnet, can you explain in the Navajo language?
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain how a bill becomes a law? And so it's not a conspiracy. And the more we keep introducing this legislation to desperately change that, we're just not getting anything done. So, basically, as Ben Shelley did say, we do need to discuss it more, we need to have this be long and thought out, not just on the whim of one candidate, just one candidate. I mean, this is something that we use to define our tribe. We're our tribe has the most speakers of any Native American language in North America. We've got close to 170,000. There are tribes where I live here in California. There are people, there's this one tribe, they have 30 people left in the world who speak their language, 30. There's a tribe not too far where there's only one speaker left in the world, one native speaker. That's it. So,
yeah.
So basically, we got to protect, and if there wants to be legislation, it needs to be something that every chapter needs to have a say in it. Some chapters are different. Where our family's from, Low Mountain, Jetties, people, our council meetings, there is no English ever spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Not even for the benefit of the youth. They probably wouldn't want that to be changed. So,
yeah,
it has to go through the whole tribe, and there needs to be some serious, and the whole idea of changing that where people decide, well, what if 9,000 voters, that's how many people roughly Chris Deschini got. So what if, I don't know, 9,000 people say, well, we don't think he's fluent. So what are you going to put it to a popular vote? Basically what it comes down to is, you know, however popular he is, you know, however much support, that's all will come, you know, there'll be people that vote for him. You can't, that's not the stable way. Let the people, we've got 3,000 tribally enrolled members.
Yep.
So this all needs to be remedied, but I feel like the election should come first. We need to have a straight election between, you know, obviously Russell B. Gay is fluent, there's no doubt of that, as is Joe Shirley. And then this needs to go on to the chapters individually and needs to be determined, but for the time being, we need to have a straight election to get out of the way.
Okay, that sounds good. I will be back on air here very soon, and I appreciate your input, Matt. Yeah. So we'll be in touch, and thanks for your comments, and we'll be coming back here very soon. So we're going to continue this very, very nice input by that caller. And so we are now really, I extended the time a little bit, and we're now really out of time. So thank you, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Stay tuned on Facebook, and I'll post it on there as well. Thank you, listeners. Yeah, Lana.
Politics on the Navajo Nation, the official Navajo Talk Radio, hosted by Calne.